anyone who has not been with us before, or who has been with us on the phone, or who is visiting from Israel, welcome, guys. Also, we should just give a shout out to Roni. This is going to be her last year with us in Ritz Hashem before she makes Aliyah. So huge mazel tov. So everyone knows there are a number of things you're told to memorize in elementary school, high school. I'm sure everyone can still remember, like, I don't know, for me, it's Shirat Devorah. We had with like hand motions and singing, and like my parents grew to dread the words Shirat Devorah because they knew it meant they were in for like a half hour performance by the end of the whole thing. So there are all these things we have to memorize. And I don't know, usually like when we remember it, it's a lot of like psukim we have to memorize, or different songs from the Torah, or different prakim. But in some of our schools, and in a lot of other schools, things you memorize are the Gettysburg Address, the Declaration of Independence, like things that I would venture to say are a little bit more dry than Shirat Devorah. But yeah, you have to memorize them. But even people who have not memorized the Gettysburg Address or the Declaration of Independence, or let alone like barely know the Pledge of Allegiance, probably know one line from the Declaration of Independence. And that is that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, if you Google life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, it will come up that these are the unalienable rights guaranteed to us by the Declaration of Independence that we are entitled to as human beings, and the government has the right to uphold. So many government conversations and much of the Constitution was established in order to help protect these rights. So everyone has the right to life. That comes into question of what can one person do to another person? What is considered a life? Each one of these words is picked apart to make sure that every human being gets the rights that they are entitled to. But one of them stands out. Life makes sense. Everyone's entitled to life. Liberty, freedom. But you're entitled to the pursuit of happiness. Imagine I told you that you were going to camp, and in camp, you are entitled to a bunk to sleep in, daily activities, and the right to cook your food. Why? Why can't you just say you're entitled to food? Why do you have to say you're entitled to the right to cook your food? You're entitled to a process? That doesn't really make very much sense. In the same way as we should be guaranteed life, liberty, and happiness. That would make a lot more sense than the pursuit of happiness. How is the government supposed to ensure that we are able to pursue happiness? So not only does this not seem to flow nicely, it doesn't seem to make very much sense, but it also seems to contradict a pasuk that we have in Devarim. Actually, a number of psukim that are discussing the holidays. And this is very relevant this time of year because it is from these psukim that we are taught a lot about the holiday of Sukkot, which is coming up so soon. It says in Devarim, in your first source, Shisha yamim tochal matzot, ubi yom ha-shvi atzeret la-Hashem Elokecha lo ta'aseh melacha. So first we learn about Pesach. We're talking about all shalosh regalim. We start with Pesach, which is the first of the year. For 6 days you should eat matzah, and on the seventh day, atzeret la-Hashem Elokecha, you should have an atzeret for Hashem, lo ta'aseh kol melacha, you should not do melacha. Sheva shavuot tispor lach, then after that you should count 7 weeks. Me'achal chermesh bakama, tachal ispor shiva shavuot. From the time that you give the Karban HaOmer, you should then count 7 weeks. Va'asita chag shavuot la'Hashem Elokecha, misa yadacha asher titon kasher yivarecha Hashem Elokecha. You should have this holiday of weeks according to how Hashem has told you. V'samachta lefnei Hashem Elokecha. And on Shavuos it says, you should be happy before Hashem your God. Atal bincha ubitecha v'abdecha v'amatcha v'halivi asher b'sharecha. So everyone should join in this simcha with you, your family, and everyone around you. You should be in the Beis HaMikdash, l'shachin shmo sham, in the place that Hashem has chosen. You should remember what Hashem did for you in Egypt, and you should listen to everything Hashem told you. On to the next holiday, Chag HaSukkot, Ta'aselecha Shiv'at Yamim, Besbecha Migarnecha U'Mikarecha. You should make this holiday of Sukkot when you gather in all of your harvest for the year. So on Sukkot, is the Chag HaKatzir, the holiday of cutting, of harvesting, and Sukkis is the Chag HaAsif, the holiday of gathering. V'samachta Bechagecha. Famous pasuk, v'samachta Bechagecha. You should be happy on your holiday. Ata u'bincha b'secha v'avdecha v'amatcha v'halevi v'agir v'hayasom v'almana asher b'sharecha. Everyone should join in this happiness. Shiva yamim tachol g'Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar Hashem ki v'arecha Hashem Elokecha b'chol tfuatcha u'bechol ma'asei yadecha v'hayita ach sameach. So you should celebrate with Hashem in the place in which He has chosen. V'hayita ach sameach, and you should be the most happy. So this seems in contradiction to the pursuit of happiness, as opposed to the Declaration of Independence, which seems to be guaranteeing us the right to some sort of process of working towards something. Hashem's telling us in one swoop, He's saying, V'samachta bechagecha, you should be happy. So what is happiness? Is happiness something that can be commanded like that? Or is happiness something that we're pursuing? And if happiness is something we can just feel, can Hashem command us to feel happy? If I were to stand here and say, okay, everyone, we're going to be really happy right now, that wouldn't mean anything to anybody. You can't just be happy. You could say maybe I could think about happy things, I can be positive, but can I really command you to be happy? And even if it's Hashem, Hashem can theoretically tell you to do anything. But is it possible to control being happy? And in order to be able to answer this question, we have to understand what it actually is that Hashem is commanding us. So there are a number of approaches, and the first is that of the Rambam. He explains in Mishneh Torah, "Afal pisha simcha hamurakan hi karban shlamim." The Rambam says, whatever investigation further we're going to do after this, everyone must accept that on a basic level, the simcha that it is talking about is not something fluffy and beautiful. The simcha that it is talking about on a basic level is the simcha of bringing the karban. That we bring the karban shlamim on Yom Tov. And simcha is defined as the bringing of that karban. So he says on a basic level, simcha is the halachot of the karban shlamim. That's why we have this idea, in simcha ela bebasar v'yayin. There is no such thing as true simcha without basar, the meat of the karban, v'yayin, and wine. That does translate into our halachot of Simchas Yom Tov today. But on a basic level, this simcha is talking about karbanot. However, he continues and says, Yesh bechal ota simcha l'smalachu ubanav ubnei bito kol achad kira oilau. But the second approach is, on a basic level, this is talking about karbanot. True simcha is only achieved through the karban shlamim. But the Rambam adds and says, but there's an additional level of what is this simcha of v'samachta bechagecha. This simcha is the simcha of bringing happiness to others. That there is the halacha that before Yom Tov, your kids should get candy and nuts and games. Men should get wine and meat. And wives should get clothing. It's in the Gemara. It's true. You're supposed to get clothing for Yontif. Everyone in Eretz Hashem can remind your husbands one day. It's a mitzvah. You're very makpid. That you must be very makpid in Simchas Yontif. The Rambam says there's these two levels. There's the basic level, simcha of karbanot, of being able to bring the karban on Yontif. It's nothing fancy. It's nothing fluffy and exciting and nice. Karbanot. Or he says there's this additional level of being able to bring simcha to other people. That it's not that Hashem is commanding you be happy now. Hashem is saying, do what will make the people around you happy. But I don't think this answers our question. We need to go even deeper. So the Chizkuni tries to address a slightly different question, which is, why in the psukim that we just read are we told v'samachta l'fnei Hashem Elokecha on Shavuos and v'samachta b'chagecha on Sukkis, but we're not told of any sort of simcha when it comes to Pesach? So the Chizkuni and the Rabbeinu B'chaye that follows are going to address that question. Why is there no simcha listed for Pesach? So Chizkuni says, V'samachta b'chagecha. His kir l'mala b'shavuot, simcha l'fisha huzman katsir, v'zman simcha. So he says, what makes Shavuos a time of happiness? Because that is the harvest season. You get to see that all of the planting that you did has come to fruition. You have a harvest. You're able to harvest everything that you've put your hard work into. And that's what makes Shavuos a time of simcha. We know that the harvest is always a happy time. And he said, so too on Sukkot. Now when we are gathering in everything from the field, we've planted, we've watered it, we've worked hard, we even harvested it. And now on Sukkot, we're gathering in everything we've worked so hard for the year. We're bringing it all into our home. What a time of simcha. However, he says, lo hizkir simcha lefisha ikru shalchag lehazkir hanish leyitzias mitzrayim ve'adayin ein ikar simcha liknot tvua. So he says, on Pesach, the essence of the holiday cannot be the harvest because we do not yet have anything to harvest. Rather, the ikar of Pesach is that this is a time of remembering leaving Egypt. But even deeper than that, he's saying that Pesach cannot focus on the harvest because Pesach is a time of real anxiety when it comes to what you have planted. You've done the planting, you've done the watering, you've done all the hard work, and now you have to wait for the harvest. You have to see if everything's going to come to fruition. So the Chizkuni is saying that Pesach does not have this simcha of the harvest because this is the time that you are the most tense about the harvest. Therefore, Hashem could not command you to be happy at a time when you are so tense. That he says the simcha is connected to the harvest, to your hard work, to what you have for this coming year. And at the time of Pesach, when we don't yet have this simcha, we cannot be commanded to be happy on that holiday. So Rabbeinu Bechaye takes this same point and makes it even deeper. And with this, we're going to come to our answer to our question. V'samachti b'chagecha, aval b'pesach lo niktzara ha'tfua ha'chadasha adayin, v'ha'yishina kfar kalta. He says that Pesach is a very stressful time of year. We cannot yet use the chadash. We do not yet have the right to use the new wheat. We do not have new things that are filling up our storehouses. And even more so, v'ha'yishina, and the old, the yashan wheat, is all gone. Our supplies are very depleted. V'i'efshar l'smol chotam b'pesach, she'yarda Torah l'sof ta'ato shel adam shel lo yifar nesim. Rabbeinu Bechaye says this is a very important insight into human psychology. That when someone does not have parnasa, Torah slips to the very back of their mind. That Hashem could not command us to be happy on Pesach because it would be so counterintuitive. We're stressed. We don't have any wheat in our storehouses. We're waiting to see what's going to happen with the new wheat. We're anxiety ridden. We cannot feel happy. And therefore, Hashem would not instruct us against our deepest inclinations to be happy. Lo niskar bo lashon simcha ubracha. V'otam acharam ruba midrash. Mipnei malo hiskira Torah simcha b'pesach. So he gives us another reason that drives home this point. V'hiskira simcha ba'atzaret u'besukot shalosh smachot. V'samachta b'chagecha v'hayita achsameach v'samachta b'nei Hashem elokecha. Lefi sheshninu ba'arba'a prakim ha'olam nidon. B'pesach al ha'tvua. Ba'atzaret al ha'perot. Al ha'perot ha'ilan. B'rosh Hashanah kol ba'i olam uvrim lefanav kivnei maron. U'b'chag nidonin al hamayim. So Rabbeinu Bechaye adds that there are four times of judgment during the year. That on Pesach we are judged for the wheat that we will have during the year. Ba'atzeret al ha'perot. Al pirot ha'ilan. B'rosh Hashanah al ba'i olam. Ba'atzeret on Shmini Atzeret, we are judged for the fruit that we will have from the trees for the year. On Rosh Hashanah, we are all judged for our lives. U'bechag nidon al hamayim. Sorry. I mixed up the holidays. Atzeret is on Pesach. And on Sukkot, we are judged for the water that we will have for the year. Sorry, excuse my confusion. U'mepnesha Pesach yom hadin shel hanidun hadinin atinin lahasot l'kach lo niskar bo simcha. He says, because on Pesach, we are at the beginning of all of those judgments. We're just starting out for the year. Pesach is the beginning point. We have not been judged for anything yet. We're very tense. So lo niskar bo simcha. We cannot yet have simcha. Aval ba'atzeret shekvar avar din echad shel Pesach nechtav bo simcha achad. So, I'm all confused here, guys. I apologize. Atzeret is Shavuos. Sorry. Getting ready for Yom Tov. Preparing a lot of shiurim. I apologize to you. Once we are on Shavuos, we can have a little bit of simcha because we've already begun the process of being judged. We've seen one judgment be favorable. So we can start to be happy. And then he says, when we reach Sukkot, we have had all of the judgments pass by. We've had the judgment that we have on Pesach. We have the judgment that we had on Shavuos. We have the judgment that we had on Rosh Hashanah. And we've already gone through, we're already up to the final judgment. He says, then we can have simcha. Then we feel settled. Then we're able to truly be happy. So Rabbeinu Bechai took the point of the Chizkuni, where he said, how can we be stressed? We have not yet harvested, when we have not yet gathered our wheat. So that's the stress of Pesach. He also says on Pesach, we're waiting to be judged in all areas of our lives. But when we come to Shavuos, and then we come to Sukkot, we feel happy. We feel happy because we have what we need monetarily. We're settled with our wheat. And we also feel like our lives are good. We've been judged in every area of life. And we've clearly made it out. And so then, on Sukkot, we can be happy. So according to these Mefarshim that we understood, what seems to be the core of happiness? What is this idea of Vissamachta v'chayecha? And what I would like to suggest is that Vissamachta v'chayecha is not Hashem saying to you, be happy. Now you've gotten to Sukkot, be happy. You need to now create some sort of artificial happiness and be happy. Rather, Hashem is teaching us a vitally important lesson about happiness. And that is that when Hashem says to us, V'samachta b'chagecha, Hashem's saying to you, look at everything you've gone through. You went through all of Elul, and you worked on yourself. You went through Rosh Hashanah. You went through the process of coronating Hashem as king. You appointed me as king over the world. And you davened your hearts out. You got to Yom Kippur, and you afflicted yourself. You fasted, and you didn't eat, and you didn't drink, and you didn't do anything but daven, and daven for your life. You cleansed yourself. And now Hashem says, V'samachta b'chagecha. You did it, guys. You can be happy. It's not Hashem telling us to create artificial happiness. Hashem is giving us permission to be truly happy and to be proud of ourselves, to feel content, to be happy with everything that we've done. So as opposed to defining happiness as some sort of positive feeling or positive outlook, I would like to define the happiness of V'samachta b'chayecha as contentment. That what is this happiness? It's feeling like we are exactly where we are supposed to be. It's as Rabbeinu Bechai says, on Sukkot, you're sitting in your sukkah, looking around at everything you've gathered. You worked hard, you harvested, you did all the planting and everything you needed to do. And now you're sitting in your sukkah and you look at your storehouses for the year and you say, monetarily, I'm happy. I have what I need to be comfortable. And spiritually, you sit back on Sukkot and say, wow, it's been an intense year. I got judged on Shavuos. I got judged on Rosh Hashanah. I've been judged all the way since Pesach. A lot of judgment, and I made it. I'm happy because I'm content. I feel like I am doing exactly what I need to be doing. I did everything that I had to have done in the past, and now I'm happy where I am. And Hashem is giving us that permission on Sukkot. But then how is that a mitzvah? We have a mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha. So that's beautiful that Hashem is giving us the permission. He's saying v'samachta b'chagecha. You deserve it, guys. Be happy. You've worked so hard to get here. Enjoy it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. But what's the mitzvah? Hashem's commanding us to relax? I can think of plenty of times of the year that Hashem should command us to relax. I think Erev Pesach, we could use a nice commandment to relax. On Sukkot, when we either way have a holiday where we get to sit outside, enjoy, that's when we need the mitzvah to relax? No. In Tehillim, it teaches us what's the key to true happiness. Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchi Liv. Mitzvahs Hashem Bara Mirasei Nayim. What is true happiness? True happiness is Torah. True happiness is mitzvah. That's what's going to make you happy in this world. Learning Torah, keeping Torah, doing mitzvah, that's what's going to make you happy. But how does that relate to the definition of happy that we just built up? The Rambam explains in Mishnah Torah, Helchot Shofar V'Sukkah V'Lulav, Hasimcha sheyismach Adam. What is this simcha? What are we supposed to feel? Sheyismach Adam ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah u'be'avas ha-kel she'tziva bahen. This is the simcha shel mitzvah. True simcha is the simcha shel mitzvah. Avoda gedolahi. It's a great work. It's hard work to feel this true simcha of mitzvah. V'kol ha-munei atzmo mi-simcha zo ra'oi li-pareya mimenu. And someone who denies themselves of this true simcha of the mitzvah, of doing a mitzvah, they are someone that should be avoided. So the Rambam is saying, this simcha Hashem tells us, how do we achieve the ability to sit back and relax, to feel good? What is this mitzvah? Hashem can't just be commanding us to relax. Hashem's commanding us and saying, learn Torah, do mitzvot, and that will bring you to this level of happiness. That when you do a mitzvah, not a mitzvah, you do all of the mitzvot that you are supposed to do, you know you are doing exactly what Hashem wants you to do, then you are able to experience that simcha. You can only feel that true contentment, that happiness with where you are, when you are living a life of Torah and mitzvot that you are happy with. When you feel, you know, everyone knows that day, that you go through a day and you said, wow, I lived this day exactly like I feel I'm supposed to. I woke up, I had kavana even when I said Mode Ani. I opened my eyes and was so excited to say Mode Ani. I got dressed. I didn't have any questions about was I wearing something sneeze. I even got a chance to daven nicely. I learned well. I interacted with everyone around me nicely. You feel good at the end of the day. You don't just feel like physically I'm comfortable. You don't just feel like, I don't know, I didn't have any negative interactions. You're happy. Because you're feeling this simcha shel mitzvah, this contentment that a life of Torah and mitzvah provides you with. And that's what Hashem's saying to you. Hashem's saying, you made it through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You did an amazing job. You cleansed yourself. But you didn't just sit back and relax anywhere. You got up and you built the sukkah. You went into the sukkah. You took your whole body and threw yourself into a mitzvah. What other mitzvah has the beauty that it encompasses your entire body without you even trying? You get up, you go into the sukkah, your whole body's involved in a mitzvah. And Hashem says, that's when I'm allowing you to have this simcha. When I'm giving you permission of now that you've gotten up and you've done this mitzvah, you've gotten to the sukkah, now you can feel like everything is in the right place. You're doing exactly what you should be doing. And that is true simcha. That's the feeling of contentment, that then you can relax and feel good about yourself. So how does this relate to our lives? Sorry, take a step back. Who was someone who truly exemplified this idea? And I want to say that way back when, Avram Avinu truly exemplified this idea. There's a beautiful Shem Yishmuel on Parshas Va'era and Akedas Yitzchak that the Shem Yishmuel asks the question and says, what was the big deal of the test of Akedas Yitzchak? You tell me. If God himself came to you and said, do anything, would you question it for a second? It's not a nisayon to do the direct word of God. It's a lot more of a nisayon to listen to someone today who's telling me what the word of God is. If God himself came to you, no matter how crazy the action was, if you are hearing it from the Ribono Shel Olam, the creator of the world, you're going to do whatever he says. So for that, we pat Avram on the back. He had Hashem come to him and clearly point out, literally over and over again, take your son. No, not just either one of your sons that you choose. Et Bincha, et Yechidcha, the son who you love, as Yitzchak. He made it very clear, take Yitzchak and give him as a karban. Do we really think Avram was going to say no to that? Of course not. He was going to do exactly what Hashem says. So the Shem Yishmuel says, what was the real nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak? Inyan nisayon ha'akeda. Yesh lomar sha'akeda haya ha'ahava v'haratzon sha'hayulo l'Avraham alzeh. The Shem Yishmuel says that the true nisayon of the Akeda was what level of simcha and ahava would Avraham have while doing this mitzvah? How do we know that? How does he see that? Ki belize mahayalo laso ki imlo yishchototo halo habrira biyado shal kadosh baruch hu litol nishmato beloza. He said, Hashem could have, if he just wanted Yitzchak's neshama, he could have just taken Yitzchak's neshama. He didn't need Avraham to come give him. Especially because he said that's not a test. If Hashem comes to Avraham and says, bring your son, Avraham will bring his son. Why did Hashem have to involve Avraham in this? V'ha'ot al ha'ava v'haratzon hayta hazriza v'kemoshe katuv v'yashkim Avraham baboker. So one opinion is that what was Hashem's test? Would Avraham wake up early in the morning? And this is the more classic answer, that we know that Avraham was excited to do this mitzvah because he got up early in the morning. And you could say that. You could say that the test was, wow, Avram got up early in the morning to do something that he definitely did not want to do. But even deeper. V'kemo shabatal yedei Wow, I can't speak today. V'ma'arim liba moral zeh shemekablin et ha'shabas v'simcha. It's saying you could connect that to Shabbos, that we say you shouldn't just accept Shabbos, you should also accept Shabbos b'simcha. So that would be kind of like the Vayashkim Avram Baboker, that it wasn't just that he did it, but he woke up early in the morning to do it. V'al'yudesha kibel tzivohu Hashem yisparach b'simcha alzeh lo nishchat yitzchak. But he says no. He said, it's even crazier. It says, if Avraham did not have simcha in going to bring up his son, Hashem would have actually had him kill Yitzchak. How do we know that? De'im lo kach lo haya ra'oi lekabel ma'amaro v'neviyato shal Hashem yisparach sheini al ta'as lo me'uma. De'in hashchina shora ela mitoch simcha. We have a concept that you cannot get nevuah unless you are b'simcha. Therefore, Hashem set up the Akedah in a crazy way. Hashem said to Avraham, Kach et bincha, yechidcha, Yitzchak, you should take your son, take him up to the mountain as a karban ola. Avraham had this nevuah, and he said, okay. He got up, he brought his son. And Hashem knew that if Avraham was able to be besimcha when he brought Yitzchak Avinu, up as a carbon. Only then would Hashem be able to give him the second nevuah, because ein hashlina shorah ela mitoch simcha. You can only get nevuah if you are happy. If Avraham did not have enough simcha when he was bringing up his son, Hashem would not have given him the second nevuah, which said to stop, which said to not hurt his son. So we know that Avraham was on an insanely high level. Anyone who God came to them and said, do this, would do it. But not only did Avraham do it, not only did Avraham wake up early in the morning to do it, he was so content in his life as an Oved Hashem. He felt such a sense of what Hashem wanted him to do in life was what he was meant to be doing. That he was able to even take up his son, b'simcha. He could use this feeling even in the hardest of times and say, I'm b'simcha, I'm happy to do this mitzvah of Hashem. And because Avram was able to be on this level, not of doing the action, but doing the action b'simcha, only then was his son saved. That only then did Hashem give him the second nevuah and say, you don't need to hurt your son. You passed this test. You've shown that you can even be b'simcha, feel content and feel whole, feel shalim in your avodas Hashem, even in the hardest of times. And an even more modern example, when I was thinking about this concept of true simcha, of simcha shel mitzvah, of feeling that happiness comes from knowing that we're really doing what we're exactly what we're supposed to be doing, immediately Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach came to my mind. When I was in high school, my teacher for 12th grade Gemara was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman. And he had pictures of Rav Shlomo Zalman all above the board. And whenever we got off track, which was, as a successful class of 12th grade girls, very often, you know, the goal is always to get the teacher off track, we would always get to hear Rav Shlomo Zalman's story. And what always amazed me about Rav Shlomo Zalman is in every picture of Rav Shlomo Zalman, he has a smile from ear to ear. He looks so happy. And if anyone knows Rav Goldvecht from YU, Rav Goldvecht is also a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and that's why he is also always smiling. And I was reading a piece by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein where he discusses Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he solidified what I thought. That he said Rav Shlomo Zalman gave off this aura of being so happy, of being such a person of joy, of happiness, someone who was so content in his life. And my husband is a big Talmud of Rav Asher Weiss, a Talmud from afar. He's met him like once, but a Talmud from afar. And he said Rav Asher Weiss also just gives off this feeling of being so happy. Because when you live a life of Torah mitzvot, you feel like you're doing the right thing. You feel like you are so content with your life. That leaves you with a real sense of joy, a real sense of simcha. And you look out around at any of these people who spend their lives entrenched in Torah, and they just look so happy. There's a joy about them. It's impossible to deny it. So how does this impact our lives? What does this have to do with our relationships with ourselves, our relationships with each other? How do we apply this in dating? What's the relevance to our lives? So, if I can pronounce her name, that will really be a miracle. But New York Times best-selling author, and she's published ever. She has a PhD from Columbia. She writes for The New Yorker, Maria Konnikova. She discusses the pursuit of happiness, as we started off with. And she said, living in the pursuit of happiness, trying to create happiness, actually makes you very unhappy. Because when people set a lot of expectations and say, if I do this, I will be happy. In this situation, I will be so happy. If I go there, if I'm with this person, if I'm dating that kind of guy, I'm going to be so happy. She said that is a recipe for disappointment. That when you set so many expectations, inevitably, so many expectations are not met. And therefore, you will be left a lot less happy than you were before you started. She said, much as we have seen in Chazal until now, the true happiness comes from contentment in your own situation. Feeling like you have everything you need and are in the right place. And she applies this to relationships. She says, when people are in a relationship, let's say you're dating somebody, and you see everyone else's Instagram posts of, oh my gosh, 6 month anniversary, best 6 months of my life, so happy to have spent this time with my best friends, like mushy gushy posts, like they look thrilled beyond belief, everything's so happy. So you consciously or unconsciously set an expectation for yourself that in Emir Tashem, when I've been dating somebody for 6 months, I will be on top of the world. I will be incredibly happy. And therefore, one can spend so much time trying to create that happiness. That it's always, we have to take the picture where we look so happy. We have to go to that museum where you take the funny pictures where like one person's really big and one person's really small. You know what I'm talking about? We have to go there because the other couple that was there was so happy. I don't know, we have to like go out every single day because if you're really happy, you probably want to go out every single day. And going out every single day will make me even more happy. It's a lot of expectations. But consider this. You might be a very different type of person from the person in those pictures. You might be somebody that while you're dating, going out every single day can drive you up a wall. It's not that you don't love this person. It's that you're learning how to love this person. And you also have a regular life of a normal human being. And that life consists of homework and, I don't know, like picking up shampoo from CVS and, I don't know, anything you need to do in your regular everyday life. So if you're going out every single day, you're not really focusing on your homework, so you're struggling in school, you're not getting the sleep you need, so you're getting really tired, and on top of that, your hair is dirty because you have not stopped at CVS to get shampoo. You are getting progressively less happy. Or you're just someone who takes things slowly. So on your 6 month anniversary, are you happy? Yeah, you really like spending time with that person. But are you over the moon, tell the entire world, pay for a skyscraper, I'm spending 6 months with my best friend in the world? No. But that's okay. It's only not okay to you because you set those expectations of what will make you happy. You have set the bar so high for happiness that it's impossible to get there. So she's saying when we live in the pursuit of happiness, of doing those things that are supposed to make us happy, we unfortunately often get more and more miserable. But if we take this message of Vishamachta Bechagecha, of Hashem saying, put in the effort, do mitzvot, learn Torah, figure out how to live the proper life that will lead you to happiness, that will lead you to feeling like you are in the right place, doing the right thing, then you'll be happy. Put the work into the relationship. Spend as much time together as makes sense for you. Do have real conversations. Do regular things. And then Emir Tashem, if this is the right person, you will achieve that level of happiness. The happiness that's true, that's a happiness of the Simcha Shel Mitzvah, of having done the right thing, doing all the right thing, and being able to sit back and say, I'm happy where I am. I'm content. Rabbi Simon Jacobson, who is a Talmid of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he wrote a number of books, taking the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and applying them to modern psychology, to regular everyday life. I would tell you that he's YY Jacobson's brother, but he's definitely related to YY Jacobson. They also look like identical twins if you see a picture of him. He says that we must replace happy with content. That whatever we think of happiness from a Torah perspective, we should think of contentment. That true happiness is from this feeling of knowing you're doing the right thing, you're in the right place, you have everything you need. We are living our best lives, then you are truly happy. It applies in our relationships, it applies in our feeling of how we relate to ourselves, and it applies to our Avodas Hashem. That when we feel like we have put in all of the proper effort, we have done all of the right things, we've had those real conversations with the person we're dating, we've spent time together, we've done everything that we want to be doing, not that we think we should be doing, with the right person, that breeds happiness. I can't remember what movie it's from. I'm not just denying that I've seen movies. I know it's from a movie, but they always say, like, the test of a good relationship is, like, being able to sit in silence together. I don't remember where it's from. But it's true, because there's something about being able to be happy with the person you're with and have this sense of, like, calm, happiness, without it always being about, like, what am I doing? What am I doing? Like, how are we going to be so happy? Like, we're going to have the most amazing date in the world because we're going to talk for 17 hours straight and it's going to be so incredible. No. Sometimes a really solid relationship can withstand an hour of quiet where you just sit there and do whatever you actually need to do, but just are really happy. So Hashem's giving us that permission to feel this true happiness. The Maharal says that when do we feel happy? We feel happy when we have success on three levels, in three relationships. When we have success in our relationship with ourselves, in our relationships with others, and our relationship with God. When we feel like we're doing well in all of our relationships, that is true happiness. And Rav Aryeh Kuhn shared a very interesting, cute word trick that bisimcha is the same word, is the same letters as b'machshava. That being b'simcha, being truly happy, is all about what's b'machshava, what's in your thinking. How you think dictates if you will be b'simcha. That if you are able to think about what you have, feel good about what you have, feel good about where you are, you will feel truly b'simcha. I want to end with an idea that's really impacted my life. I don't know, it's weird with Corona. I can't really show you my phone background. It's a little too close. But my phone background for, I guess I'm old now, the past 7 years since seminary has been the exact same thing. Through getting married and my two children, my phone background has always been the same. My background says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. I heard Rav Moshe Weinberger way back, it might have even been before seminary. I think I was in high school. Rav Moshe Weinberger was giving a shiur. I don't remember the rest of the shiur, but I remember this one idea, which was, it says in Tehillim, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, which is often translated as, I feel Hashem with me always. Shivisi Hashem is opposite me always. Hashem is always with me. Rav Moshe Weinberger says, repunctuate the pasuk. After Shivisi, put a comma. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. If you've ever heard a little Israeli child, Shaveli, Zelo Shaveli. I want to do this. I don't want to do this. Zelo Shaveli. It's not good for me. I don't want to do this. He says, Shivisi, Hakol Shaveli. Everything is good for me. Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. If I feel Hashem with me constantly, everything will be okay. I can feel truly happy if I feel Hashem with me always. And that idea really resonated. Because so many times in life we're so caught up in, what are we supposed to feel? What are we supposed to do? How's everything supposed to be? Am I working hard enough? Am I working too hard? Like, everything's just a lot of thoughts. And this was a very calming thought, that Shivisi, Hashem is with me always. Everything's good. It's all fine. I can relax and be happy. Because the Ribono Shel Olam is right next to me. He's with me. I've got this. It's all good. So that's the message of Vismachta B'Chagecha. Now let's tie it back to all of the original questions we had. The Rambam said, on a basic level, Vismachta B'Chagecha is talking about karbanot, or making the people around you happy. You know what? That makes perfect sense. Like the Maharal said, we only feel truly happy, we feel this sense of contentment, of being at ease, of being happy, when our relationships are all in place. So when we brought that karban shlamim, this special karban, this gift to Hashem, we feel good. We know we did well by Hashem. We can be happy. We can feel good about what we did. When we make those around us happy, when we're in good standing in our relationships with those around us, we make someone else happy for Yontif, we're happy. We're all good. It's great. We're doing well. The judgments are done. We've gone through a tense period. Everything was very stressful until we get to Sukkot. And now we can sit back and say, we did a good job. We're where we're supposed to be. We're happy. And even the grain, physically, we can say, we put in the hard work. And now Hashem says, relax and enjoy. Rapam says, we are all searching for a city of happiness. We must realize that it's in a state of mind. That Hashem is saying to us when we get to Sukkot, V'samachta b'chagecha, enjoy. You've earned it. You got here. You put in all the hard work. Now it's yours to enjoy. Be happy. V'samachta l'fnei Hashem Elokecha. Come with me. Sit in the sukkah and be happy. Enjoy. My bracha is that we should feel that Hashem is sitting right there with us in the sukkah. Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. When Hashem is there with us, it's all good. And that we should be able to embrace this permission from Hashem and truly be v'samachta v'chagecha. Enjoy our holiday. Be happy. Feel good about where we are.